97.5 The Fanatic.
We move into the 3 o'clock hour here at 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you until 5 o'clock on a beautiful Sunday. Wow, is it nice out. We've been talking heavily on the Sixers, and in particular because last night they had a tale of two halves. They scored 50 points in the first half and then managed only 41 in the second half. They were taken down by the Mavs 109-41. There's a lot of different areas you can go to. They didn't get to the line. Their defense was not the same in the second half. They have obviously learning to what is best for them and individually with Joel Embiid sidelined after having the surgery on his left hand. So, you know, it's a work in progress. But on a season that had a lot of expectation attached to it, that they definitely need to figure things out sooner than later. And, you know, who will they be? What kind of record will they have in Embiid's absence? I mean, over the years, notoriously, they have not had a great record when he is sidelined. And after last night's loss, they this season, let's see, they were 3-4, 4-5. They are with Embiid out. Let's check in with Dave in Center City. Dave, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, happy spring in January.
Yeah, I know. How about it?
Yeah, I'll be back on the air with Mikey missing the 18 on February 11th, but what a joy speaking with you, Rob, and Mr. Stazak. Just a pleasure. I wanted to talk Eagles, but you circumvented me with Andy Reid, Big Red, and some of the Sixers callers. Unfortunately, Big Red is going to go up against Mike Vrabel, the third best coach in the NFL right now.
He's definitely gotten it done the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. And
those are two tough places to play.
Denise, I don't even know if they're going to beat Houston today, but they're not going to beat. Actually, Tennessee's going to win the Super Bowl. Derrick Henry's a free agent.
I know.
He would look good in Eagle Green, wouldn't he?
Wouldn't he look good in any uniform? Whatever your team is, he would look good in it if that's what you can do.
Yeah. As far as the Sixers go, okay, big Ben Simmons fan. Unfortunately, Joel is a cross between Elijah. Fortunately, he's a cross between Elijah Wan and Will Chamberlain. But bravo to that gentleman that called two callers back. He's unreliable and he can't be depended on. But all is not lost. The Sixers, you can't beat them at Wells Fargo. So moving forward,
well, if you don't have home court beyond, and right yeah, today you wouldn't have it at all. So
no, but
you're
Denise,
counting on.
In a 7-game series, Sixers could beat any team in the NBA right now. Unfortunately, most of those teams can beat the Sixers in a 7-game series. So let's just hope the planets are aligned correctly. Make sure you get out and enjoy. I think 5 o'clock you get done, you'll still catch some nice weather.
A little sunlight. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate the phone call. I guess basically you're saying that it's a 50-50 shot in a 7-game series with the Sixers and anybody they will face, at least till they get to the finals. I don't know who they would face at that point if you feel that they could beat, say, the Lakers or the Clippers at that point. I don't know. I prefer seeing a team that's more consistent with all of their play, with what they do defensively, offensively. I'm not saying that there aren't players who have up and downs to their individual seasons, but consistent. Like if I said to you, what do they consistently do well? What do they consistently do well? I'd love to hear your answers. Let's check in with David in Burlington. David, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, so I just want to get to a couple points quick. There was a caller a little while ago that said that he refuses to believe that Brett doesn't tell Joel to get down more. Well, he ought to believe it. Just look at the recent SI article. Brett himself said that he pulled Joel out the post. And because he doesn't coach that way, just throwing the ball down low. But I think, though, with this current iteration, at 25-15, with all that we're going through early in the season, I think, you know, fans should relax a little bit. It was known that this was going to be a struggle. But I think that if you follow Ben Simmons' career in high school, he was never the alpha. It was D'Angelo Russell. In college, it was not him. It was Derek Quarterman. I think his name was Derek. And he was the point guard who was just a gunner. And it allowed Ben to just kind of always be the Batman, the Robin to someone else's Batman. And I think that we are kind of caught up in believing that he's this number one guy when he's really not. And when I watch, I notice there's one trend. And I think the most important person to that starting lineup is Josh Richardson. I think that when Josh just decides to do what he needs to do on offense, Ben follows. And I bet you if you look at the pattern of games where Josh had a big game, you look and see Ben had a big game. Ben doesn't really set the table. He's more of a follower who does it really well.
Yeah, no, I'll just go to two games ago. I think Ben ended up with 20 and Josh had his 29, but how they looked playing. But what was Ben? He was a screener and a roller.
Right, but I just think that Josh Richardson, I used to think it was Tobias Harris, but then I realized Tobias is more of a scorer in the flow who will have his moments.
Yep.
So then I realized with Josh, I'm like, no, I need you to shoot about 22 times a game. And although I think he's probably streaky, but he's a hot streaky, like he's a guy that will get 14 and a quarter. He's a guy that will heat check from 35 feet.
I was a little disappointed last night when you had gotten to the line and made all 10. I'm not saying you have to make all 10 again.
Yeah.
But to not get to the line for more than two free throws yesterday, I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I think some of that is coaching. And I'm not upset with Brett because I think he's coach handicapped. You know, unfortunately, when your point guard refuses to shoot, he destroys the possibility of. And I think maybe like the practice thing with Iverson, no one ever sat Ben down and really told him why. I think like Iverson thought they meant like, no, you need to practice. Like, nah, dog, it's so you can know what everyone else like to do. And the same thing with Ben, like you don't allow an offensive rebound. You might just make a shot. You might be feeling good that day.
Right.
You know, I don't think he gets that. And he just does what he does. And unfortunately, Brett's going to pay the price. But it happened with Giannis. Jason Kidd had him first. So a lot of great players, they go through a couple of coaches too.
They do. Giannis was never, there wasn't a butting of heads there.
Just was a growth thing.
Yeah.
They needed someone. And that's why I think that maybe where Brett is with these guys, like Brett, sometimes you've been doing the same thing for so long, you think you're doing different, but you're just in a different corner in the same room.
Yeah.
So maybe they need another voice. Because I do think that Joel needs a coach that they sometimes you will see them argue with each other on the sideline.
Sure.
He needs a coach that he thinks hates him sometimes.
That doesn't happen here, I can tell you that.
Well, I know. I have a friend who works behind the scenes. He told me. And I'm like, oh, guys. But they're not bad kids.
No.
If you can say all of this and say, but you're 25-15, because if you read the L.A. Clippers blogs, reading the Sixers blogs.
Yeah, it's so true. You are so right on that. But a bigger part for them is because they're occupying the same building as a team that's doing great things, and everybody thought the Clippers were going to be every bit as good as the Lakers. So,
and that's what we are. They thought, but if you really, one more last point, if you really look at it, I think the Sixers' biggest injustice is, I keep saying, Brett, you guys have never known what it's like to be the best team in your division. The Boston Celtics have been chasing this for 6 years. The Milwaukee Bucks have passed four. You're actually being disrespectful by saying, I'm going to step over these guys when you can't even say you're the best
team in your division. That's an excellent point. David, I appreciate the phone call. It is true. That's true. I mean, the last couple of years, well, even last year with Nick Nurse, but even before that, Toronto kept running into, then it was LeBron's Cavs for a number of years. But just in your division, you know, Boston right now, they picked up a W. I said they had 140 in their win last night. But you're right. There is some, before you can say the Eastern Conference, you might want to be the best in the Atlantic Division. 610-632-0975. What do they do consistently well? What can they hang? What do they think they hang their hat on? And honestly, 25 and 15, I'm not going crazy about that. Not when there's four teams in front of me. Now, I know that it's very clustered for the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, actually, because Indiana is only a half game behind you, which makes tomorrow's game significant. Because when you're playing head-to-head around those teams that are chasing you or you're chasing, you know, you can make up some ground. But anyhow, that is very tight. Milwaukee has definitely gone out and setting the pace and continue to put the pedal to the metal. And isn't it funny? One of their losses was the emphatic victory on Christmas Day. But they are the front runners and have been from the beginning. Let's check in with D on the cell. D, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
D, Lina, you watched a lot of basketball like I watch a lot of basketball.
Yes.
We got $350 million tied up between Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons, and you can't go win a game on the road. We got four people on this team that's making over $100 million. That's, you need to win a championship. We are fifth in the East, six almost after tomorrow. If we lose, everybody should get fired. And then let me explain some shit about Ben Simmons. He was the number one overall pick. He got paid max money. Yes. We expect him to be an alpha dog. We need the Jimmy Butler dog. We made a lot of mistakes, and I just want to say this, and it's the only point I want to make.
Yes.
We kicked the tire on Marcus Morris. We could have signed him much cheaper than Al Horford in the summertime. The rumors about D'Angelo Russell trade, he was available in the summertime via trade. You need a guard that can, that's crafty with the ball, can get his own shot, and stretch the floor in today's NBA. Ben Simmons is a four. He never played point guard in his life till he got here. And we are sliding down the East ladder right before our eyes, and everybody grinning and smiling and making excuses. The owner, Josh Harris, said hold the team accountable this year, and that's what I'm doing.
Well, do you believe that they will make any change? I think this is what you have, and this is what it will be through May, whatever, however long you do it.
I do not think Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons will work together. I believe that you're going to have to move one of them, and I'm team Joel because he's given me 38 and 14. He's given me, if I get a different coach, move Ben Simmons, I believe Joel Embiid is a consistent all-star. He's coached wrong. Ben Simmons is out there doing, I've seen him jump in the air, throw the ball to people that's guarded by two people, not knowing what he's going to do with the ball.
Well, and he makes mistake number one is that he leaves his feet.
Right. That's bad. You teach middle schoolers not to do that.
I know. Oh, believe
me,
I know.
And he's getting max money. He's a max player.
I know, $171 million.
That's not worth it. He's not giving me enough. I've seen enough. He's gone.
He did play 37 minutes last night with no turns. I just have to give him his credit for that last night.
But he had 11 points. That's not enough.
I know. I agree. And he didn't have a field goal in the second half.
He's
0 for 4.
Bye.
Bye.
He's gone.
I thought you were saying bye to me, D. I was like, whoa, he's cutting me off.
No, I'm not cutting you off, but Ben Simmons is the person that's not living up. And Tobias Harris is not Jimmy Butler. We all look at Jimmy Butler in Miami and say, oh, I wish that guy was on our team.
Yeah, that story had a different ending. Though I will tell you this, and I agree that Jimmy definitely, it looks like he made a good choice for himself. But I am going to tell you, I like Josh Richardson. I think Josh Richardson is going to be a very good player in this league for a while. Now, last night, again, I would like him.
You want to hear something about Josh Richardson? I believe he's a true point guard. I believe him with the ball, bringing the ball up, is a better option than Ben Simmons.
Well, it is for this group, yeah. And in the Boston game, if you could just, I'm not saying he has to get 29 every night out, but that to me is utilizing him and utilizing Ben better. By
right, that's switching who brings the ball up.
I know it is. I said it's about 95% of the time.
Tell Brett Brown to put the ball in Josh Richardson's hand and Simmons come and be the screener.
Yep. Well, that's what he did certainly in that game. You know, last night, I don't know why they got away from
I'm tired of Brett Brown, too. He talks in theory and all these philosophies. I mean, we slide down the East ladder, and he got all these theories that don't work. He's failed. He's right. He has failed.
All right. Well, I hope we'll see where it leads. And right now, it doesn't feel like it's leading to the great expectations we had. I don't feel that right now, but
me either.
It could change. And I appreciate the phone call, D. Yeah, one of the things, when it looks like last night's second half, and afterwards the conversation is about a tale of two halves, and then somehow a coach sneaks in, you know, but we just beat a very good Boston team. Don't go back in the past and tell me your great past. What happened here today? What happened that allowed you to shoot 23% in the third quarter when you had a 9-point lead? How did you not keep the pedal to the metal? Luka was so frustrated. You had to keep it on him. Let's check in with Aaron in King of Prussia. Aaron, thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, how's it going?
It goes.
Some people say, and I agree with people who say you can't force players to do stuff. You can't just pull rank on players today. But that's not really how it's the only way you get players to listen to you. You have to get players will listen to you if you got rank, but they will also listen to you if they respect you and they know what you're saying is going to bring them success. And for Brett Brown, I don't think he has that. I agree. You can't just say, I'm the coach, you're going to do this. But the players here don't respect him. Basically, he's saying, listen, this is what we got to do to win. And the players are saying, no, we know another way. So I don't want to hear that Brett Brown, you can't get the players to do what you want to do. Because nobody really could get Michael to do what he wanted to do. But he respected his coach back. He respected his head man. And he's like, I want to play for this guy because he knew the guy knew what he was talking about. He knew his success and the success of his team is ranked around listening to somebody who knows what they're talking about. And I don't think the players feel that way about Brett Brown. That's why they're not going to listen to what he says. Because if they did, they would.
Well, the only one that I think, now maybe you were saying that Embiid doesn't listen because he's not in the post. Obviously, we were talking that, you know, he's on record of saying I failed. Because you're still with a Ben Simmons who doesn't shoot the ball. So, right. Bigger than that, and I wish somebody...
I've heard analysts and stuff say that the Brett is telling him to get in the post. But the bigger picture is neither one of your main stars are getting developed. I think this is a waste of year. I think I called you at the beginning. I know I called you at the beginning of the year when you were asking how far the Sixers were going to go. And I was like, they don't have a coach. And I said, every team is going to face adversity. And now the Sixers are really going to face adversity. So you're going to see, this is Brett Brown's last chance.
It is that.
You're playing the Clippers, you're playing the Lakers, you're playing Milwaukee twice, all within a month, and you're playing the Celtics. And you don't have your best man. You have your best player. Now we need to see what you got. If you got a plan, you need to bring it to the forefront. And you need to see that you can coach. But they don't have a coach. And my thing is, if you don't have a coach, you face adversity, you guys are going to fail. And that's going to lead to less respect, and the team is not going to listen to them. A game like last night, the other aspect of coaching is if you're beating somebody in the first half and the second half is not working, you need to identify what's not working and
need to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, you need to, but you have to be able to identify and say, listen, we're not shooting the ball, we're not getting to the line. And get everybody on the same plan so they, once they see that they listen to you and you know what you're talking about, and if we do what you say, it's going to work, they'll be more apt to listen to you. But I'm not for the players that just don't listen to them. You can't get players to listen to you. You can't get players to do what you say, because if I'm interviewing a coach, that's the question I'm asking. How are you going to get my players to listen to you? How are you going to get them to do what you want them to do? If you can't answer that, you're not the coach.
Well, I agree with you, Aaron. And look, I'm not in that locker room 24/7. I know that obviously Brett's been here for a number of years from, you know, the whole process has been. But to get to this point where you now have to take it up a notch, you know, maybe he has the tools to do it. Maybe he doesn't have the communication skills to get it done. I'm not sure. But I know that the results have to be different than being a 7-13 team on the road. I know that the results when you don't, I mean, look, they're going into Indiana tomorrow. Indiana's 15-5 at home, but Indiana hasn't been playing with their best player. And they just keep on keeping on. And they didn't, Brogdon hasn't played for the last five. Now, the last game against the Bulls, he didn't play because of strep throat. So he probably has a good chance of playing against the Sixers tomorrow. It's not the sore back. And Sabonis didn't play in the last game because of a sore knee. So you may go in and play against a banged up Indiana team where guys don't play. And you got to take advantage of that. But even still, Indiana's sitting right on your heels, a half game behind you, and they haven't had their best player all year. You got to figure it out. You got to jump on opportunity. 610-632-0975. Joe, I'm going to come to you next on the other side. I can't wait to hear what you want to talk about, Elton Brand, and we'll get to V-Hawk and Doug as well. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Wow, I missed the start of the football game in the blink of an eye. You got a two-score football game at Arrowhead, and it's not in favor of Andy Reid's squad right now. 14-0 Texans. A lot of football to be played.
I goofed.
Yes. I don't know, in that last, before they went to commercial break, Patrick Mahomes didn't look worried. The guy puts points up on the board in a hurry, so we'll see how it rolls. Let's check in with Joe in Voorhees. Joe, how are you? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Yeah, you're welcome, Dee. Yeah, I haven't spoken to you in a while. I just feel, you know, everybody knows Sixers need some firepower coming off the bench, and they don't have it. I mean, if they want to play with the big boys like a Lou Williams and stuff, somebody comes in and gives them offense. I felt Elton Brand kind of missed out on Carmelo Anthony. I thought he would have fit real well with the Sixers. I don't think you're a fan of his, but...
not for his... Well, for age and style, not particularly, but I hear you. I mean, they definitely... They over... what should I say? Oh, what they thought they had in some of their bench guys, like Mike Scott and James Ennis, to me, has not been consistently what they valued it as.
I see.
At least that's my looking at it through whatever the 40 games.
Right. And then there's a player out there just hanging around, instant offense. I just want to know your take on it, Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, a lot of people like him. For me, and Crawford's a scorer, not a knockdown. I'll see what he was from three the last that he played, but I would prefer, so like the year they got the Ersan and Marco Bellinelli, those guys are knockdown, spread the floor guys. I think that's what they need. I don't need a guy who's like going to take somebody off the dribble, because right now what your problem is that everybody wants to be in the paint, and that you don't have enough spacing. The only way they really should be able to score is if they move the ball and move bodies in that half-court set, which they do very inconsistently.
I see. I think Crawford would help them.
I'm not saying he wouldn't. I love the guy, and obviously he's been a valued sixth man in this league for a long time. For his career, he's less than 35% three-point shooter, and I'll just go to when he most recently, actually he was pretty good. He shot almost 40. Wow, I didn't know that with Phoenix last year. From three. Or wait a minute. No, he shot 33. Sorry. I need a guy who's more, you know, a 40%. Like right now, Redick.
You know what
Redick's shooting from three? He's shooting almost 47% from three, and he's averaging 15 points in 26 minutes. To me, and you couldn't afford him, and I get it, and JJ needed to take the money because he's 35 years old.
But
you get 15 points in 26 minutes out of a guy who can knock down 47% of his three-point shots, and take that any day of the week.
Right, can't miss that.
Yeah, so.
All right, D, that's all I have.
All right, Joe. I hope they do make a move, though. They have a little time here. I don't know. Hallie can do it.
Yeah.
But
I guess so.
We'll see. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. JJ, 47. There was one caller who agreed with me that Furkan's definitely, at least for now, because Matisse has come back and he's been 0 for 4 from the floor in his first two games back from his bruised knee. But Furkan's your best three-point shooter on this team. He is. Now, can he consistently give you that? Is your system such that you get him enough open threes? I don't know. I'm asking as much as I'm curious. Let's check in with V Hawk in Philly. How are you?
Yo, D. What's going on, D?
Nice to hear from you.
I'm nice to hear from you. Well, call in. I'm calm because it's a nice day. I'm about to go walk with a friend.
Nice.
But, you know, I'm not going to get hyped up. I'm going to keep it accountability. And they dropped the ball. Accountability across the board. That's exactly what it is. From coaches in on. And the system and the fits that's here is not playing out. I mean, with the process, we didn't do necessarily anything wrong. It's just not working out this plan. But just like when you put the bacon or you put the chicken in the back with the seasoning, it's time to shake things up. We're not coddling nobody no more. It's time to make some changes.
Would you make changes in the middle of a season or would you wait until the end?
Yeah. Yes, because in the end of the season, I gotta look on the internet and see what's gonna be there for this summer. But I just think that we played with the house money too soon because now we're playing with over $300+ million worth that's not necessarily guaranteed, but we overspend. And even though I was the one, I was definitely
It's more than that. If you want to go Embiid is max.
Oh my gosh!
Simmons is 171. Tobias is 180. Al Horford is 100. And the best deal on that table is Josh Richardson making 7+.
And he's the one, and you know what? You know, there's somebody on there, Tobias Harris. I mean, you know, he's in the frying pan as well. Also, everyone, break down and make changes too with the system, man, because it is time, man. I know we try to play a hybrid and groom a hybrid guard, but across the last couple championships, tradition works and system works. But like you said, we're ready. I wish we could have paid the man, but this is just unfolding our face, a big smack in the face. And it's just sad, man, just to see if we go down this lane. And I can't even count. I mean, the last caller and the caller before that hit on the money. Who can we go get? I mean, you got Bogdanović that's up that the Lakers are trying to pursue from the Sacramento, but who else would have been there? Where else could we go? But I think, Dean, honestly, we got to make a change itself. That's just how I feel.
But it's got to be, it's got to be a knockdown shooter.
It's got to be a knockdown shooter.
Yeah, I mean, JJ's fourth in the league right now in three-point percentage. You know, I looked at Milwaukee has a George Hill, and maybe somebody would have said, I don't know how old George is, but I want to say he feels old to me, meaning in his 30s. Would I be right on that, you think?
Yes, indeed. But you know what, Dean, it's just crazy. Not to hold everybody else up, but where do we go from here? But it's just sad because the system by and you know, everyone, you know, a lot of people saying for the coaching standpoint, but a lot of players were going record the plan for Coach Brown, but is it because they can be more lax?
Right.
Or they don't want to deal with
the pressure? That's a great point.
That's all I got, Dean.
I hear you, and I appreciate the phone call and enjoy your walk. It's a beautiful day for that. I am right, like a George Hill. He's 33, but the guy makes shots. He's shooting 50% from three-point over the last 10 games. And I think on the year, oh my goodness, on the year he's shooting higher than that. He's shooting 51. But, you know, with the constructed roster, that's the kind of shooter you need. So I'm naming two guys. One guy's 33, the other guy's 35, and they're George Hill's number one and Redick's number two. I mean, four in three-point shooting this season. 610-632-0975. One, what do you think that the Sixers actually do well and can hang their hat on? Two, what kind of record will they have in the absence of Joel Embiid? Right now they're sitting fifth in the standings. And they're probably without their big guy for, I'm going to say, at least 6 weeks. And that's what it feels like to me. I think I heard on the telecast the other night, I was listening to Reggie Miller had the same injury, and he was out 8 weeks. Now everybody's different. We'll see. I do know this. Joel Embiid has no excuse for, because it's not your foot or knee, your ability to stay in shape with a hand injury is very different than the last couple of years. And he needs to take care of that and own that and stay in shape while he's waiting for his hand to heal. Let's check in with Doug in Norristown. Doug, thank you for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Dee. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. Oh, Dee, by the way, real quick before I get to my point, I don't know if you're watching, Kansas City just fumbled the punt return, so now Houston's got a first and goal.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know.
So they have a blocked punt, and they fumbled already, and we're only in the first quarter.
I know. It's crazy. Dee, I want to discuss the Eagles schedule, and then if you allow, I want you to be the GM. I'm going to give you 7 NBA players, and you'd have the first pick, if that would be okay.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
So the first one, the NFL, I don't know if you had a chance. Obviously, they don't know the dates yet, but the Eagles schedule, they know their opponents.
I know that the Seahawks come back. I didn't look at it, but I'll trust you that you can tell me who.
So it's really, on paper, it's brutal. They're playing the top 3 seeds in San Fran, Green Bay, and New Orleans. And if that's not good enough, they play Baltimore. I mean, I know they lost yesterday,
but
they're still at the top record. They play Pittsburgh, assuming Ben comes back, and you play the Rams. And who knows what you'll get in Cleveland, because I think they were a big disappointment.
They were a huge disappointment, yeah. And I'll pull for that kid because I like his family. I don't know him in particularly super well, but Kevin Stefanski, you know, that's a great opportunity for a young guy.
Yes. And then for the, let's say you're the GM, Dee, and you have the first pick in the draft next year, assuming everybody's healthy. I know not everyone is, but in no particular order, LeBron, Harden, Gaetanis, Luka, Stephon Curry, Ken Durant, and Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, my God.
If you had, like, the top 3 picks, Dee, who would you take?
Well, I'm taking Giannis and Luka because of who they are and their age. And then I have a third out of that group. Probably Steph, because I need a knockdown shooter, and Steph's the best in the business.
Yeah, you're kind of on the same page. And
I mean, LeBron's having a heck of a year. Please don't get me wrong on this. But if I'm, you know, taking people, am I doing it for just 1 year, or I'm building something?
I'm sorry. You're doing it for 1 year, Dee.
Oh. All right, wait a minute. Then I can't. I might not be able to go against LeBron. I'll take LeBron with Luka and Giannis.
Yeah, I like that. And, I mean, you don't know, but again, the premise is if they're healthy, I'd probably have to put Durant somewhere around there, too.
I would, but
he was playing really well.
He was, but that injury is, I can't predict that. And if I have to choose before I know if he can play again, you know what I mean, the same kind of player.
True. And one other point, if I may.
Yes.
I've had friendly debate with people, and again, I respect your basketball knowledge. If you had the opportunity to trade straight up, realizing that the salary would not be an issue for this scenario, would you trade Mike Scott straight up for J.J. Redick?
In a heartbeat.
Okay, I would too.
I wouldn't even blink an eye.
I would too. I would drive
to the airport.
I mean, through your sources and contacts, any chance the Sixers could get JJ back, or what are you hearing about a possible outside shooter?
Yeah, and I appreciate the phone call, Doug.
Thank you, Dee.
Yep.
Thank you, Dee.
Well, JJ's got a 2-year deal down there, and as I'll check what the second year is, but let's just say it's the comparable to his first year. He's making 13 plus right now. So, and Mike Scott was a heck of a lot cheaper than that. In terms of outside shooting, you know, I mean, there are names that float around. Jamal Crawford's been one. To me, he's not a high enough percentage outside shooter, in my opinion. I think a greater scenario that happens is they find somebody after buyouts. I just don't know what they're able to give up to get, because their salaries are very top heavy towards their starting five, and I don't think I see them willing to part with one of those 5 pieces. I think that's they want this 5 to be together and grow together, and be something that plays late into the spring. And they still believe that's possible. 610-632-0975. We're coming back, Mike, talk to you about Andy Reid and how about Houston jumping out 21-0. Oh, my. 610-632-0975. I am D. Lineham, and you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, as beautiful a day as it is here in Philadelphia, the same cannot be said for Andy Reid in Kansas City. Andy Reid is trailing the Texans 21-0 at Arrowhead. Yeah. I mean, yesterday I flipped over late to the Ravens-Titans game, and that game was already out of control. And now Houston is just taking it to the Chiefs, but there's then the turnovers and the sloppiness by the Chiefs. Now, again, I'm not staring at it nonstop. And they just showed a picture of Andy Reid on the sideline. But this first quarter is not even, it's not even done. He's got 30 more seconds of pain in the first quarter. Wow. So the Ravens had won 12 in a row. The Chiefs watched that. They realize now with the Ravens out, the Patriots out, you know, this could be coming through Arrowhead. And instead, Houston has other thoughts for them. Yep. Yep. Defense and running the ball. It's the theme of the postseason this year. 610-632-0975. So we've kind of been talking about the Sixers who lost last night to Dallas. 109-91. Scoring is an issue. The trade deadline is coming up. And what could you go and get if you are Elton Brand? What do you do to give your team better chance of having success, you know, in the back half after All-Star and into the postseason? And shooting definitely would be an area that needs to be addressed. Let's just double check. I know that they had poor shooting throughout. Like, they had the bad shooting to start the game last night, but their defense was so strong that it didn't kill them in the first half. They end up shooting almost 38% for the game. They were 9 of 37 from 3. It's a lot of three-pointers. 9 of 37. So somebody said, well, who could you go out and get? One of the ones that has come up, I think Keith Pompey wrote about these two names the other day, and those were Langston Galloway, formerly of St. Joe's. He was at Hawk Hill. And Luke Kennard of the Pistons. Possibilities. Again, I'd love to hear what you would be willing to give up to bring in a shooter, because you're going to have to give up something. And the other thing, you're also going to have to do something if you're Elton Brand, if in fact you want to keep Norvell Pell, because his two-way contract, he's running out of days. You're allowed to play 45 days with the NBA team, and he has 4 days remaining of being able to participate at the NBA level, and then they have a decision. And in Keith's article, and I can understand why, people have from other teams are watching closely to see what in fact the Sixers do with Pell, because if they don't keep him, I'm just telling you, there's people who have their eye on him. In his 15 minutes last night, now again, you're not going to have Embiid for 6 to 8 weeks. So having some rim protection like Pell is, which is very different than what Al Horford can bring you, in my opinion. But in his 15 minutes, 2 of 4 from the floor, he got 3 offensive rebounds, 3 defensive rebounds for 6 total. He did have 5 personal fouls. That just means he's being aggressive, and he had the 1 block shot. I would say he probably altered a few shots, and he was a +4 in a game where there was a lot of minus. Matter of fact, he and Korkmaz were the only two That was in garbage time, the guys at the bottom of the bench. Milton got in, Neto got in, Kyle Quinn was the only one who did not play. But I say to you, what do you do? Who would be that three-point shooter you would go out and get? And, you know, I did look up the person who said they missed the boat on Carmelo Anthony. I didn't realize Carmelo's shooting 40% from three and averaging, I'll see what he was averaging, but he's definitely shooting 40, I believe, if I read that correctly. Maybe that would have been a good move by them to add an aging Carmelo Anthony, but a hungry. He's hungry because he just wanted to be back in the game. Korkmaz isn't enough. I think he's had a fine year. I think he's given them good minutes for the most part. Carmelo Anthony. What is Carmelo? Carmelo Anthony. I know his field goal percentage is 40-something. Let's see, his three-point percentage. What is Carmelo? Yeah, I mean, they're not just all sitting around and you can just pick them up. Yeah, he's shooting 40 from three and he takes 4 a game. I wouldn't have known that. I don't think of him as that. But, you know, somebody like that was available and maybe you could have pulled the trigger on that. That they need something, that they need a jolt. And I think it's not just to make a move, you know, just so you can say you made a move. I think that, you know, this team has struggled to score enough in enough games. You know, the last two, for sure. And we've seen earlier in the year, the Mavs, I was a little surprised they only played some zone. It took to the second half before they did that. But teams, you know, that's what they do with these guys. Now, if you can get Josh Richardson and Ben in pick and roll like they did against Boston with Ben being the roller, you know, I think that benefited both of them, but I'm not sure that teams will allow that on a daily basis, but that they need something that can be reliable offensively, I think is true. I think on most nights, their defense is pretty good. Now, I thought last night, the fact that they were able to force 8 turnovers in that first quarter against a team that takes care of the ball, I said, well, good for you, but I couldn't expect that was going to play out like that. And in the end, they themselves only turned it over 4 times. When you look at that, you would have thought they won the game, but you had to look at the other numbers. The 9-for-37 and only shooting 12 free throws to Dallas's 27. Yeah, didn't really work out. 610-632-0975. Danny, I'm coming back to you on the other side. What do the Sixers do consistently well that you say they should just continue to hang their hat on that? Or if you can't think of something, because consistency to me is what they lack, what do they need to start doing consistently well so that they become a better road team? And what at home? You know, you have an 18-2 record at home. What are you doing at home that you're not taking with you when you pack your bags? 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.